sun on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow.
Let's all stand on the wings of a dove. And now there's another verse. There is a bride who is waiting today for her Savior to come and take her away. Though she's rejected, but not from above, God sent her a message of love. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends His pure, sweet love. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we think of the wings of a snow-white dove. We think how John was there in the river, and he saw your Spirit descend as a dove upon the Lord Jesus. Lord, we want that Spirit, Lord. We ask you to descend from above today on the wings of a dove and fill our hearts, fill our souls, Lord. Fill this place with your presence. Lord, we long to see your Word made flesh once again. We long to see the Word manifested in its power and its glory. Help us, Lord, to get out of the way. Accomplish your purpose in us, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we're standing, let's turn to the Bible in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And I'm going to start with verse 20. Praise the Lord. John chapter 12. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Father, thank you for your word today. We invite you to come and take control of each and every one of us, Lord. Take control of my being, my thoughts, my physical being, my spiritual being, my mind and my heart. My mouth, my words. And Lord, use us today for your glory and honor. Lift us into heavenly places. Break open the bread of life to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Anyway, I want to look at the scriptures today. This scripture has been dealing with me for a while. And again, I don't really understand how all this works, but all I know is sometimes something just grabs me and I can't get away. And so that's what I do. I just try and yield to that and pray about that. And these scriptures just are staying with me all week this week. And I want to title this, Do You Want to See Jesus? I do. I want to see Jesus. And we see the Greeks here, they heard about Jesus. And, you know, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And if you look at the Gospels, and that was outstanding then, and it would be outstanding today. Amen. You know, the people that were against Jesus were plotting to kill Lazarus and Jesus. Just think how warped they were. They were religious people, and they thought they were right. It's not enough to be sincere, right? There's a lot of sincere people that are sincerely wrong. Back in Jesus' day, there was an abundance of that. They thought Jesus was wrong. It was clear to him he was wrong. And then when there was this claim that they didn't believe that Lazarus was raised from the dead, and people were coming just to see Lazarus. I want to see Jesus, but I want to see Lazarus too. The guy that was in the tomb after how many days? 4 days and raised from the dead. You know, I think we would want to see Lazarus too. We'd want to see Jesus and Lazarus. So the warped religious crowd wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus. And it's amazing how off someone can be under the blindness of a religious spirit. And that just wasn't back in that day. That's this day as well. That people can be so blinded by religiousness and thinking they're right and convinced that someone else is wrong, that they actually want to fight against what God's doing. You know, it was a Gamaliel, you know, it's like, listen, you know, if this is God, then you're fighting against God. Take your hand off it and just let it alone. And a lot of times that's the right thing to do. Amen. Is if you don't understand something, just don't attack it. Just let it alone. Because if God's in that, you're fighting against God. And obviously they were literally fighting against God here. But the Greeks is the people that they heard about Jesus. They heard about the miracles and they wanted to see him. So they got a hold of one of the disciples and said, you know, to Philip, they said, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And I kind of feel like anybody that hears about Jesus wants to see him. Amen. Even still today. And I believe it's because he wasn't just a man that brought teaching. He was a man that manifested the power of God. So that's a little different. So much today, people have dead religion. It's just teaching. You know, if you look at the religions of the world, which, you know, false religion is abundant, and of many teachings and many systems of religion and many things you can follow and many rules and regulations, and it's dead religion. It doesn't produce a living God. Just teaching is not enough. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And so even still today, I think we, like the Greeks, we desire to see something more than man-made religion. I know I did.
Amen.
And so we were attracted to something that wasn't just teaching. And now we are witnesses that God of the Bible is not dead.
Amen.
We are witnesses that in our very generation, not just 2,000 years ago, the God of the Bible displayed in an open way, in a very visible way, that this Bible is the truth. And he manifested his word through a prophet, I believe with all my heart, William Marion Branham was the manifestation of the spirit of Elijah to come before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, people can walk away if they want, but for me, I believe that's what that was. And, you know, it's amazing to me that people that want to criticize Brother Branham, they want to nitpick and things and find fault here and there. What are they producing in their life? Have they won literally thousands of souls around the world to Jesus Christ? Have they been used by God to produce mighty miracles? The blinded eyes open, the dead raised, the deaf hear. No. They just think, well, in my mind, I figured it a certain way, and this is wrong. How obnoxious is that? To think that your mind and your religion is better than something God vindicated. It's not who says he's a Christian. It's who God says is a Christian.
Amen.
It's who God vindicates. And God always vindicated through signs and wonders and miracles. Now, we don't put signs ahead of the word. Never. Okay? But many people interpret this word many different ways. Praise God. But God, you know, he says, let there be light. He doesn't need us to interpret that. There was light. He said, a virgin shall conceive. What's the interpretation of that? Well, we think it means this. We think it means that. No, you don't need to think anything. A virgin conceived. That was the interpretation. Some believed it. Some didn't. Do you realize when the virgin conceived and bore a child, most people didn't believe that child came from a supernatural act. Most people believed that Mary did something wrong and had a child before she was married. Either a Roman soldier raped her, or Joseph did something wrong, or whatever. They didn't believe that she was literally the fulfillment of Isaiah's promise, a virgin shall conceive. They didn't see it, see? But there were some who did. There were some who did. And usually, you know, Brother Branham preached a sermon called Why It Had to Be Shepherds. It's a wonderful sermon. He preached it around Christmas time. And you know, the whole world, we all get up involved in Christmas and everything. And I'm not against that, but I don't think the Christmas spirit is the spirit of Christ. See, I think it's always appropriate to love people. If you want to give a gift anytime you want. Okay? But commercialism has hijacked Christmas, and it's all about the buck, and it's all about getting you to spend a buck that you don't have, right?
Amen.
So anyway, I don't mean to be a downer, but I'm just saying Christmas, you know, has been hijacked by commercialism, but Brother Branham would preach a Christmas message, and Brother Branham would give gifts to people. So I think he kept the balance in it. He didn't like the paganism part of it, but he also understood the human side of it, of his kids and different things. So I think we need to keep our balance with it.
Amen.
Don't become so bitter about something that you recoil. Amber was talking about somebody she works with that doesn't believe in the holidays and doesn't believe in birthdays, and she said happy birthday, and the person like recoiled. Come on, that's a little extreme, isn't it? You meet people, you say the word Christmas, and they're so against it that they become strange to everybody, even themselves. All right? Let's have a little wisdom about it.
Amen.
The people that say Merry Christmas, they're not saying, I'm a pagan and I want you to be pagan with me. They're giving you a greeting, a pleasant greeting. It's like when I'm in a work atmosphere and someone offers me a beer or a drink, they're trying to be nice to me. I say, no, thank you, I'll have club soda. And just understand, if someone says Merry Christmas, they're trying to be nice to you, right? At least they didn't say Merry Xmas and take Christ out of it altogether, right? So what I'm saying is have your balance. Brother Branham would preach a Christmas message because he would use this enthusiasm and say, all right, but let's talk about Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the gospel. So when he preached Why It Had to Be Shepherds, it was an amazing sermon because he showed in there, and I've heard it several times, but if you really find out what's the answer to why it had to be shepherds, you'll find in the message it's because the other people wouldn't believe it. They were so lifted up in themselves, the religious people, but the shepherds were humble enough to receive that this was God that did it. They weren't so filled with their own thinking, filled with their own interpretations, that they said, no, that can't be it. See, when you get fixated on your own interpretations, you could very well miss what God's doing. But the shepherds, they were just simple, humble people, and they believed that this was the virgin that conceived, because the angels came to them and said this was it. So in this day, Brother Branham is a simple, humble man that God uses to manifest the scriptures, and many people walk away. But I believe we are witnesses of the power of God on display. And I will take that up with any man, any scholar, any Bible teacher, any preacher, any layman, anywhere. If they want this to be the absolute, I'll show them an end time message here. I'll show them an Elijah promised here. And if Brother Branham didn't fulfill that, show me who will. He did fulfill it. And so we're grateful for that. We are witnesses of that. You know, I don't want a dead religion. Now that Brother Branham's off the scene and we're in the time after Brother Branham. This is 50, how many years after his ministry? And most of what follows his ministry has fallen back into being satisfied with just teaching. Not me. Not me. That is not what this Bible declares. That is not what the message of the hour declared. It said that the church of the living God should be just like a Book of Acts church.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And now, I'm not asking you to manufacture that. I'm just saying, don't let anybody steal that expectation from you. I want to see Jesus. And he is the Word, but not just the letter of the Word. He is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. I want to see God manifested the same yesterday, today, and forever, which was a God of power, which was a God of deliverance, which was a Savior, which was a healer, a mighty God, mighty in power, defeating, slaying every enemy. That's God. And if our expectations are stolen away and we become, well, we're just teaching, we're no different than Catholic people. See, but I was delivered from Catholicism, and God placed an expectation inside of me that from the first time he touched me, I don't care what I go through in life, failures of others, failures of myself, that expectation is still there. I believe God is God, and he wants to manifest his word in this day.
Amen.
And we're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because that faith is being attacked from without and from within the church.
Amen.
The worldly demonic spirits want to destroy the Bible and everything about it. And the religious spirits within the church want to steal your expectation of the supernatural. But the church of the living God, born of the Spirit of God, they're filled with that revelation that if he's God today, he'll be the same as he was yesterday. The same God that split the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked, he's the same God today. The God that was a healer in Paul's day and raised the dead in Paul's day, he's the same God today. And even though Brother Branham came with a wonderful ministry and there was many miracles, and now it's quieter, he's the same God today. We're contending for that faith. So, man always wants to find God, but God reveals himself in ways that maybe we would want him to do it differently. Let's turn to Job chapter 23, verse 3. Amber's got it up there. Job 23, verse 3. I love this, you know, because it shows a longing that we all have. You know, Job was in the midst of a great trial. And that's when what you are comes out. Not when things are going great, but when things are going all wrong, it shows what you really are. Job 23:3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Do you ever feel that way? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. In other words, if he was sitting somewhere and I knew where he was sitting, I would go to where he's sitting. I would offer my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words that he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Do you ever get to that place? I just really want to understand. I'm tired of the mystery. You ever get to that place? I'm tired of not knowing. I want to know clearly. I want to know where you are. I want to find you, and I want you to speak to me, and I want you to tell me. You ever feel that way? Poor Job was right there. And so, verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? You know, Job had a revelation here. And I think every one of us needs to have this revelation. Yes, God is almighty. God is all powerful. His holiness is so far above us. His righteousness is far above our righteousness. But Job had a revelation, but he's not against me. If the devil can convince you that God's against you, he's defeated you right there. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? So you got to get that. He died for you. He wants to set you free from all that hinders you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost have preeminence. And he wants to work through you. You got to believe that. Amen. Would he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. He would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered from ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a revelation. See, Job is talking about something that you and I deal with. God has not made a way for us that we could say, all right, he's in Chicago, and he's on this certain street, and he's in a certain house, and he's in a certain building, and we could go there and talk to him. No, it's not that way. We would like that. We would prefer that. We would stand in line for hours and days just to see Jesus, just to talk to Jesus. So in our mind, we want it a certain way, like the Greeks. We would see Jesus. But in God's mind, there's a better way than our way. God has a better way. And this is another revelation we got to have. His ways are better than my ways. Remember, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He designed a plan that's better than our plan. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't think that you have life figured out. We have a pea brain. We're little, we're just small. He's God Almighty. He's got infinite, vast wisdom above any wisdom we could ever attain to. His plan is the best plan. And if he chooses to be mysterious, it's better for us. If he chooses to reveal himself in a way that we wouldn't choose, it's because he's right and we're wrong. Praise God.
Amen.
So Job wanted to meet him. We want to meet him. All of us want to sit down at his feet and plainly talk to him. But God's way is better than our way. And we need to submit ourselves to his way. That's the only choice that is rational. That's the only choice that makes any sense in the end of the day, is not to fight for your own way, but to find his way and follow his way. Praise the Lord. So the Greeks, men just like us, they wanted to see him. But Jesus answered them in a strange way. I want you to see what happened here. He did not answer in a way that we might think. He didn't say, okay, Greeks, come up to this place and we'll have a meeting. Did he? He didn't say that. They wanted to meet Jesus. But instead, he spoke of his death. He spoke about his death. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Again, back to verse 22. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew, again, and Philip and tell Jesus. And Jesus answered, saying, the hour is come, the Son of Man shall be glorified. What was he talking about? He was talking about his death. He was glorified in that death. His death, burial, and resurrection. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So what is that talking about? Jesus is pointing to his earthly life. No, he's not pointing to his earth. He's saying my earthly life and an earthly meeting is not as important as you understanding my purpose and my death. I want you to see something in my death. So I definitely believe Jesus felt it's more important for them to see Calvary and understand the purpose of God than to have an earthly meeting for a few minutes. Okay, now we would prefer the earthly meeting for a few minutes because we have this desire in us. We want to know. We want to know right now. Just tell me, I want to know. But see, God has a better way. Jesus pointing to something that they wouldn't expect. And I say still today, when we want to see Jesus, he points to something that we don't expect him to point to. Praise the Lord. If we want to see Jesus, if we want to know more about him and what his purpose is for us in this life, we also need to look to Calvary. Remember, Brother Branham said this, everything before Calvary points to Calvary. And everything since then, including his own ministry, points back to Calvary. There is more revelation in Calvary than what meets the eye. It's deeper than what people think. There's more answers there than what we've observed. So, praise the Lord. We need to look to Calvary. You want to see me, Jesus is saying? He says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What's he saying to the Greeks? Maybe he's saying, you want to see me? But I want you to see something more important than meeting me in person. I want you to see why I came to earth. I want you to see my purpose, and I want you to see your purpose. And it's not by having a few minutes. So Jesus then points to this wonderful example of a corn of wheat. And you know, I like to study the nature, and you can Google anything today and you can see diagrams of the reproduction of a wheat seed. You know, the wheat seed is just really small, just a little seed. But Jesus is saying, if that little seed stays above the ground, it abides alone. Alone. It can't reproduce itself. The only way for it to bring forth fruit is for it to be buried in the ground, which symbolizes death. Jesus was talking about his own death. You know, he's saying, I could stay alive and I could do more miracles and I could have more earthly meetings, but I'm going to accomplish something greater in my death than if I stayed alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is, he's just smarter than we are. He's more wonderful than we are. You know, he told the disciples, listen, I'm going to go away. And they were all sad. You're sad because I said I'm going away. But listen, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, somebody's coming back, the Comforter. And the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, can be with you all the days of your life. And you don't have to go to some place to find him. The kingdom of heaven becomes within you. If you want to see Jesus, he can be as close as you want him to be. He's as near as we want him to be. So, Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to sacrifice my life, Jesus is saying, so that I can reproduce myself. Because right now in my physical body, it's just me. It's just one seed above the ground, alone, doing miracles and signs and wonders, which is wonderful. But wouldn't it be better if I die and then I can abundantly, you know, one little wheat seed can produce a stalk, and then look at all the seeds that produces, right? It multiplies. Jesus wanted to multiply himself. That's his plan. I thought he came to save me. Yes, he came to save you, but he came to reproduce himself in you and I. That's part of the plan of God. So Jesus is talking about the law of reproduction. And if that seed doesn't fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth fruit. It doesn't say that. It bringeth forth much fruit. Much. And I want them to have life and more abundant life. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think about a lot. But he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. So really, we limit God sometimes by not having faith that he wants to do more than we can even imagine. Surely he's able.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So let's try and follow this. Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8. I want you to see something here. Verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Now that can be a real challenge. But the real challenge in that scripture is not that God could work all things together for good. The challenge is, do we trust him when things happen that don't seem very good to us? When we go through trials and tests and heartache and much tears and much pain, here, can we still believe? And we know. Do you know? Can you say that you know? We know. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Doesn't say to them who are called, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God.
Amen.
Are you the called?
Amen.
Do you love God?
Amen.
And all things. That doesn't exclude anything. That says everything.
Amen.
Donald Trump being president, okay? All things working together for good. For our good. Now, the problem comes in our mind. We don't even know what's good for us sometimes. But he knows what's good for us. So to me, it all comes back to that five-letter word of trust. T-R-U-S-T. Is that right? And I want you to get alone and think, do I trust God? Do I trust him with my life? With my soul, do I trust him? Do I trust that he's in control more than anybody I could see in my life? He's more in control than all the circumstances in my life. God is in control. Now look at the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus. That he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among just a few brethren. No, many brethren.
Amen.
His goal is reproduction.
Amen.
He wants to, you know what? And I've learned this about God. As I read the God of the Bible, he gets what he wants.
Yes.
Amen.
He accomplishes his purpose. Now, you could say, I don't want to be part of it. Just like people are walking away from the Bible, walking away from Jesus, walking away from the end time message and for their own reasons and their own explanations. You can walk away and put yourself outside the economy of God, but God is going to find somebody. That's not going to earn it. They're just going to submit to his will. They're just going to say, I believe it. I'm not going to try and interpret it. I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to expect God to do what he said.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I'm going to stand right on his word.
Amen.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. 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 There's some action taking place there, isn't there? The power of transformation. He transforms from one thing to another. He transformed this world. He created it first in its dark and empty condition, and then he transformed it, and the raw nature of this world is beautiful. Look at the mountains. Look at the seas. Look at the skies. How can you not say it's beautiful? Look at the stars and the universe. Sometimes the sun sets and we think, God is the greatest artist there ever was. Right? You see all the different colors and it's like, wow, that's beautiful. But this world was dark and void and empty, and God transformed it. How? By his word and by his spirit. He transformed it from that into something beautiful, and he is transforming. We are being conformed into the image of his son because his son is beautiful. If you can be like Jesus, that's beautiful. If we can let his spirit have preeminence, that's the goal. And when we die out to that selfish fleshly nature and his spirit has preeminence, that's when abundant of fruit comes out of our life. Not when we're selfish. Not when we push ourselves in front of somebody else. But when we take the lower seat, which is against, you know, it's against human nature. Praise God. The plan of God is to reproduce that others could partake of his life, which his life is eternal life. There is only one form of eternal life, and that's God's own life. Now, some people get confused in the Bible because it talks about hell being everlasting, and they think it's eternal. Brother Branham's a simple prophet of God, and he goes, there's no eternal hell. Because if you live forever, if you have eternal life, then you have God's life. How simple is that? I think that's just an explosion of a simple revelation. That hell was created for the devil and his angels, and for those that reject God's way. See, and there's something called the second death. They die the first death here, and then they'll die a second death when they're no more. But when you get eternal life, that's his life. And you can never die. You can never die. Because he can never die. Let's look at some of the scriptures about eternal life. John 10, 27, 28. I think Amber has them. John's, my sheep hear my voice. Don't you love that? And I know them. And they, you know, he knows his own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Woo! I'm not worried today. There's nothing worrying me. Because I am his, and he is mine. He gave unto me eternal life. The next one, Amber, is Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this is like Paul's ministry, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. See, that's the wonderful thing. How do you know? Because you believe. Something is in you that can say, yes, I accept the pardon. I accept that he took my place. I accept eternal life. I receive it from him. Romans 5, 19. Oh, I love this. Listen to this scripture. For as by one man's disobedience, who's that? Adam. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, don't you declare that? See, it didn't depend on my obedience. It depended on his obedience. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Woo! That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you love the grace of God? It was amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Grace is greater than the law. Mercy is greater than judgment. Praise God. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. The life. There's only one form of eternal life. The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Amen. Eternal life. He manifested eternal life. See, and we have that wonderful, simple revelation that Jesus wasn't a different person of God. He was the life of God manifested in flesh. Amen. All that the Father was, he poured into Christ. And the Spirit that was in Christ, he pours into us. Amen. Not three persons. Amen. That's a horrible idea. Amen. It wasn't introduced by God. There is three, but not three persons. Amen. And I tell you, when the people start walking in the door, when we get our billboard up there and people start coming in and asking questions, that's the simple things that they're not going to understand. Don't argue that there's not three. Say, yes, there's three, but not three persons. Amen. Can you prove that by the Bible? All the fullness of the Godhead was in him. Amen. The Bible says that. Amen. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
That's right.
Isaiah 9:6, right?
Amen.
Don't you love that?
Amen.
No, I need my glasses to read that, but let's turn to that. Can you put that up there, Amber? She can do that better than I can find it here. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born.
Amen.
Okay, what's it talking about?
Hallelujah.
A child.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise
unto us a son was given.
Amen.
The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The Trinitarian comes in. Isn't he wonderful, brother?
Amen.
Isn't he wonderful, sister? Yes, he's wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor.
Amen.
Is he your counselor? Yes, he's my counselor.
Amen.
The mighty God.
Amen.
The child is the mighty God.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, yeah, but he's the second person. Wait a minute. The everlasting Father.
That's right.
Amen.
How can the child be the Father? Because the Spirit of the Father was in him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
I'm so glad of that revelation.
Hallelujah.
When we get to heaven by the grace of God, there'll be one God.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. See, so if they want to be honest about the scriptures. But he said, go ye therefore baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Ghost. Yes, and the people with the revelation of what that meant in Acts 2:38, they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the name. I can't wait to have that out there right on that river road there. And that billboard that says, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, what is the name? I can't wait. I'm going to be like, get giddy when I see that out there. What is the name? It's a name above all names. Hallelujah. Powerful revelations. You're not going to have to get that complicated with people. They don't even understand the simple things. 1 John 2:25. What's the promise? This is the promise that he had promised us. Eternal life. promise of God. Can you receive it? Eternal life. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now, I want you to walk around sometime today when you're alone. And I don't care if people see you and think you're crazy. But I want you to say, I have eternal life. I have eternal life because of what he did for me.
Amen.
Eternal life. And the life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of his Son, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
Do you know you have eternal life?
Amen.
You should know. You should know. I know. Thank you, Lord. By the grace of God, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of Calvary, because not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done, I've passed. Let's put up John 5:24. I love this scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath.
Amen.
You already have it. Hath.
Amen.
Everlasting life shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Thank you, Lord.
Is passed. Is already passed. It's already happened. I have eternal life. Eternal life is within me. You can have this road of asphalt. I got streets of gold.
Yeah.
You can have this world of misery. I got another life.
Amen.
See? This life is not the life to fight for. There's another life that we can have right now that gives us a promise that when we die, we don't die. I don't believe real Christians should be afraid of death. Now, I'm not saying that you want to die, because we want to do the will of the Father. And we don't want to leave this life 1 second earlier than he wants us to leave. So I don't believe in taking your own life to get out of here. No, but I don't believe we should fear death. Like, how sad is it a man walks into a church with a gun and starts killing people? You know, I don't think we should be afraid to die. I think we should have enough faith to say, listen, if God allows that man to shoot that gun and kill me, then God allowed it.
Amen,
but if God don't want me to die, the bullets ain't coming out of that gun.
Amen.
We should have that kind of faith to stare death in the face. Say, God forbid that would ever happen here. That's a sad thing in a church building. But the man was obviously a crazy person, demon possessed. Walking down the aisle, shooting people. Brother, sister, I can tell you, by the grace of God, I know if we ever face death, we should be able to face it boldly.
Amen.
Because to be honest, I'm sick of this life.
Amen.
And if he wants to take us out, so be it.
Amen.
Now, Maureen hates when I talk that way. She loves me, the flesh. You know, she doesn't want me to go. And I don't want to leave her, and I don't want to leave my family, and I don't want to leave you. But listen, this world is not my home.
Lord.
I can't find rest in this place. The only place of rest is in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is grieved everywhere in this world. Everywhere. See, because we're at the end. Right? You should be able to boldly face death. Don't be afraid to die. Death is a doorway for a born-again Christian.
Amen.
Just past that door, there's another world that's better than this world.
Amen.
Right? If I should die, don't grieve me. Because I know I pass from death unto life.
Amen.
See? Well, Maureen said, well, I'll grieve you whether you want to or not. And I get that. And if you left, I would miss you too. I'd miss my wife. I'd miss every one of you. You know, we were listening to, we're putting Deep Call at the Deep up here before the service and just seeing if it's work. We're going to play those again. When the new people come in are interested, we want to show them what we believe. We put Perry Green up there. And I saw my brother Perry up there preaching right there this morning. I missed him. But I have no doubt where he is. He's not suffering anymore.
Amen.
He doesn't have the burdens that he carried in this life. I can't wait to shake his hand and hug him over there. Right? And we get over there, Brother Green and I ain't going to be hugging like this because we're so big. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Say, well, I won't recognize him if he's skinny. You'll recognize him. You're going to know who he is. But you know, he won't be an old man, be a young man. I won't be an old man, I'll be a young man. Do you realize eternal life is so much better than this life? This life is the negative of the positive. So we're living in the negative. But eternal life, beyond the river, there is no death. There is no sickness. There is no migraine headaches. There is no sorrow like that. There's a splendor and beauty of the holiness of God and the purity of God. And that's what a Christian wants. That's what we long for. Praise God. Eternal life.
Amen.
Have you passed from death unto life?
Amen.
Have you passed? Or do you fight to hold on to this life? Do you fight to hold your place in this life? Have you truly been born again? Not of corruptible seed. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you want to see Jesus? We're getting to it.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about it. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Praise the Lord. Silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, we were redeemed by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Hallelujah.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Praise God. Let's go back to what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He is showing his purpose to reproduce himself. The greater purpose. You know, he didn't live that long, did he? He was, what, 33 years? I think his ministry was 3.5 years, right?
Yep.
Wasn't that long, right? He had to die so that others could receive his spirit. That was his mission, to be the Lamb of God, to take on the punishment of sin. But he also talks about, not only to the Greeks, talks about his life, but he talks about you and I. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know, sometimes all of us feel alone.
Amen.
Sometimes all of us feel unfruitful.
Amen.
Right? Where we say, there has to be more. This can't be all. I think that's a deep call into the deep.
Amen.
Right? Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Notice, And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So the Greeks come to Jesus or to his disciples and say, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. They wanted to see his earthly body. But Jesus responds and talks about his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he talks about our life. He did not hold on to his earthly life. Jesus did not hold to earthly pleasures and earthly life. He did not value living longer on earth, physically living longer, more than fulfilling his purpose. So he willingly gave his life. Now I say willingly because I believe that's an important, a very, very, very important factor in this. No man took his life. He laid his life down. John 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me. John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. No man took Jesus' life. He gave it. He gave his life. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This is the commandment. This commandment I've received of my Father. See, he willingly gave his life. And because he gave down his life, it produced much fruit. Amen. Anybody would have to admit that.
Amen.
He didn't write anything. He didn't travel very far. You ever see those like cards that people give out about Jesus? He never really wrote anything. He scribbled in the sand a little bit, but he never really documented. He just spoke words. He manifested the power of God. 3 years, and look at the explosion of fruit after. Because what he said was true. When he died in the ground, and that seed went into the ground of eternal life, and it came up again. It produced much fruit, abundant fruit. It produced life so that others could live. That others could partake of this wonderful life. Amen. You know, sometimes we get selfish as Christians, really, because we know we have something wonderful and we don't want to share it with anybody. Some of that has to do with personalities, you know, where some people are quieter than others. But really, there's a selfish part to it, because if we possess eternal life, if we have the revelation of the truth of God, isn't it worth sharing? It came to reproduce itself. And yet we keep it. Why? Many times, because we esteem the praise of men more than the praise of God. And we don't want to be rejected by man. Jesus was rejected. Yes, many will reject the truth, but someone may receive it unto eternal life. Praise God. He laid down his life. He brought forth much fruit. And then he talks about you and I. He that loveth his life shall lose it. What's he talking about? He's talking about this natural world. I love this natural world. I love all the entertainments. I love all the pleasures of this life. I love all this corruption. If you love this life, you lose it. I love my flesh man. No. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay, I believe, this is just my personal belief, anybody that tastes of that heavenly life, they just naturally hate their own life. Because the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Hateth his life in this world and shall keep it unto eternal life. Jesus is talking about you and I. Do we love this earthly life more than fulfilling God's purpose in this life? That's the question. If we do, then the seed abides alone. It abides alone above ground. It's not producing because we love this life more than God's purpose. What's God's purpose? He pointed us to Calvary. But John, he died. He died for us. I believe that. And he was our example. And he's saying right here, if you love your life, you lose it. Lord, help us to see.
Amen.
Do you want to see Jesus? Is the question.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, yeah, I want to see Jesus, but I don't want to die. What are you saying? I want to see Jesus, but I want to see Jesus manifested in me, but I want to hold on to all the pleasures of this life and the cares of this life, and I want to esteem this life. It doesn't work that way. If we want to see Jesus manifested in us, then the corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. And don't think of it as a bad thing. Think of it as a doorway to a better life. If his life is manifesting through us, there is no joy beyond that. You know, when Peter denied Christ and he fell into the pit of misery, was that an abundant life? That was abundant misery because he refused to die. He thought he would die with Jesus, but he didn't have the strength, right? But after the Holy Ghost came, then he had a clue. And he walked out there by the gate called Beautiful, and the man held up for alms. He just wanted a little donation just to get something through the day. Get me through the day. But Peter was a different man. He was a different man than the man that denied Christ. Something else had come into him. And I don't even believe it was Peter talking anymore. He's walking by the gate called Beautiful, and the man distracts him with his hand out, and he looks. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk."
Amen.
That was a different man. What had happened? Jesus reproduced himself in Peter. And when all the religious people got together and so mad, and the devil was mad, and they said, "How dare you? What authority do you have to do this?" He said, "There's a name above all names."
Amen.
And you know, they said, well, they took note. And with the man standing there healed, they had to admit, this guy's been with Jesus.
Amen.
This guy's been with Jesus. Amen. Not because he was learned, he was unlearned. Not because he could argue with them and debate the scriptures. No, but because the man was healed. The power of God was manifest. Don't ever let that expectation fail from you. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's just for the preachers, John. That's not true. These signs shall follow you if you believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want you to embrace that with boldness. Eternal life is in me. Sickness is no match for the Spirit of the living God. I just need to take God at his word, and God's word will be made manifest. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We cannot be fruitful for the kingdom of God while we love this carnal life. That's what he's saying. You know, we know that. We know that. We know that. Let's go to Luke chapter 14.
Hallelujah.
He says it in another place. Luke 14, 26. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. Now that sounds extreme, doesn't it? What's he talking about? Does he want to go us being hate mongers everywhere? If you love your life in this world, if you esteem the opinion of your wife or your father or your brother or sister greater than the Word of God, you cannot be his disciple. Hate not. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What is Jesus saying? We need to count the cost. Count the cost. Is it worth it to us? What has more value, this carnal life or the life of Jesus to be on display? To be on display. Luke 9, 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And they answering said, John the Baptist. This is Luke 9, verse 19. They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias. Others say that one of the prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God, the Anointed One. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, notice, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Amen. And follow. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his father's and of the holy angels. Praise God. Count the cost. What's it worth? Would we see Jesus? Do we just want to meet him? Do we just want to be in a meeting and see him do a miracle? Do we just want to see him raise the dead? Do we want him to tickle our ears with teaching and make us have more knowledge than other people? What do we want? What do we want to see? He wants to see himself in us. Amen. And he showed us the way. He showed us the way to reproduce. Only through death comes life. Listen, our flesh man doesn't like this kind of message. But I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to say something to us. I believe the Spirit of the living God wants to reproduce himself. And I don't believe he's going to find the ground in the denominational systems. Corruptible seed. Because they'll be born under that. Born under a Trinitarian doctrine. And then they declare the Trinitarian doctrine. But somebody's going to be born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Not of a perversion of the Word of God, but of the pure Word of God. That's the kind of ground. That's the good ground. He's going to find a humble person. And listen, I say he's going to because he's going to have his way. I know he's going to have his way. It may be a minority, but there are going to be people just like you and I on this earth, simple, humble people that they realize his life is more worthy to live than my life. I want to see his life being lived through me. Matter of fact, I'm tired of seeing myself. I'm tired of what I produce. I'm tired of my own selfishness.
Amen.
I'm tired of what this world has to offer. It does not satisfy. But when I can die to myself, he satisfies. He truly satisfies. That's the water that when you drink, you never thirst again. He satisfies. Don't you love him? I want to finish, but I want to read something to you that I've read many times, and I can't get away from it because I believe it's a promise. Brother Branham preached a sermon, Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And he shared in there, he read where the Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. And I believe that the Holy Spirit did move his hand, guide his thoughts and move his hand. And he read it back to us as if, hey, this wasn't me, this was something that God did. And I see a promise in there. I see a desire of God in there. You know, back in the Old Testament, when Moses was talking to Israel, and he would say, oh, that their people, or God says to Moses, oh, that their people would have such a heart that they would love me and keep my commandments. That God's desire was reflected in those scriptures. And I see God's desire reflected in this. And I'm just going to read a small portion of it. Do you see, friends? Brother Branham, this is the end of the service. So why I'm contending? He says, get away from then denominations. Get a real church of God. See why it's come out of the word. He talked about hybriding and what that produces and all that. He said, see why it's got to come out of the word? It can't come by the wisdom of man. It's got to come by the word of God. That's the reason I believe the word, just the way it's written, I won't add nothing or take nothing. Just preach it the way, just keep going. Now, brethren, you on tape, if you disagree with me, I'll pray for you. If I'm wrong, pray for me. I'm going to read something now, and I want you to listen close. Here's what the Spirit said. Pick up your pen. I'll have to leave some of it go. I want to bring someone to you now. And this is the portion that was. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction bring forth of its kind. Genesis 1:11. Now, the whole sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed. This is me now. Brother Branham used the scriptures. Every seed brings forth of its kind. And the title was, The Spoken Word was the Original Seed. God spoke, and it was so.
Amen.
Let this spring forth of its kind. Let this spring forth of its kind. And I believe subtly, not outright, he's saying that he raised up a prophet in the end time. Isaiah was a prophet, and he spoke, a virgin shall conceive. And that word was hanging out there, a word of God, for many years, and then it had to produce itself. In the last days, God inspired a prophet of God. Not every word he said was thus saith the Lord. I don't believe that. But in within the message, I believe there's an anointing, there's an inspiration, there's a message, there's a thought from God. And that spoken word is a seed to us.
Amen.
These last days, true church bride comes to a headstone, will be the super church, a super race, as it nears the headstone. They will be much, so much like him, even they will be in his very image. In order to be united with him, they will be one. That's a promise. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God.
Amen.
He's not just talking about himself. This whole message was about a seed being planted, a former rain, a teaching rain that had a manifestation, and then a latter rain would come upon it. And we haven't had the latter rain yet. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the Word, brings a hybrid product. See, so a hybriding, it may produce a bumper crop right away, something flashy and beautiful, but it can't reproduce itself. Like we have farmer friends that they produce sweet corn, hybrid corn. Oh, it tastes wonderful. Did you ever have some of that sweet corn? It's wonderful corn, but it can't reproduce itself. It won't come up again. Only the natural corn, which doesn't taste so good to the flesh, right? That reproduces every year. Praise the Lord. Denominations can never produce this. The first son was a spoken seed word of God, Adam. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. Adam was given a bride so he could reproduce. She fell. The bride was given to produce another son of God. She fell by hybriding, caused him to die. A second son, a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, she had fallen also. For she was given, put to free moral agency like Adam's wife was, to believe God's word and live, to doubt it and die. And she did. Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. Now, that the bride of Christ doesn't just come from the last days. It comes through all days. See, there's an elect chosen of God. And listen, I'll tell you this. It's not for you and I to say who's in the bride. God picks his own bride. He picks who he wants to pick. And when we get there, if by the grace of God he picks us, we'll be surprised to see who's there. I think. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise. So, a virgin bride. Then from this little group of the true seed, virgin bride. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin who knows no man-made creeds. Remember in the beginning of this, he said the last day's true church bride is producing something. All right? The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him, as he did when he come from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now. So the virgin womb, accepting his word, be it unto me as thou hast said. Though it was said by an angel, and yet it was a written word, Isaiah 9:6. They will love him and have his potentials. For he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to his head. The headship of Christ was his. Notice the harmony. Now this is the end. Now I'm finishing now. Notice the harmony. Jesus never did anything until he's seen of the Father. The Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it again. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word.
Hallelujah.
And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Then it is germinized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They will do only his will.
Amen.
No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still.
Amen.
Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill, as he did not complete all when he was here. For it was not time yet. Praise God.
Amen.
Do you want to see Jesus?
Amen.
I believe we're going to see him. Let's all stand.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads to him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, how we need you, O God. Lord, forgive me where I've failed you, Lord. I look at my life and I see many times where I've failed you. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive all of us, oh God. Lord, we like the Greeks. We want to see Jesus. We see that you pointed them to something unusual. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us today from your word, showing us the way that we could see Jesus. But Lord, we know we don't have the strength in ourselves, Lord. We need you, oh God. Peter denied you, but when your spirit came upon him, he stood boldly and declared the word of God and manifested the word of God. Lord, send us the rain, oh God. Pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. Give us that strength and power and boldness that we need. In ourselves, we're nothing, Lord. In ourselves, we're no good. But with you, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Bless this little flock. Lord, we're not here with the masses. We're a small group, Lord. Will we see Jesus? Lord, I want to see you, Lord. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Open our eyes, Lord. Do you know that one, Amber? Open our eyes.